Okay, the question was submitted because you guys apparently have a wedding to go to on Sunday. That what do you do if you are a very frum yeshiva bacher who tries to do things appropriately and live life with the appropriate level of tznius, and you have had friendships and relationships with people in the past of both genders, and you're going to be at a wedding and there are going to be many girls there that maybe you were friends with in the past, and that would be very deeply insulted if you were not nice to them and didn't stop to schmooze with them at the wedding. Do I understand the question correctly?
Yeah.
So how does one handle a situation like that? I would tell you one way to handle it is by submitting this as a hashkafa question to Rabbi Kamenetsky. He's probably much better at this than I am, but I'll try to answer it from the halachic considerations that are prevalent. The way I'm going to structure this is the overall halachic issues or sources that relate to boys, girls, men, women interacting a lot, conversing, socializing. Then the counter argument of the Kavod HaBrios sort of picture, and then just try to give a basic approach that I think works. Hopefully we'll keep it within 10 minutes. The basic idea in general of how men and women interact in halacha, the Gemara cannot be more clear about this in many, many places, that Chazal were very anti-major socialization going on between men and women. The Gemara at the end of Kiddushin tells us that we should avoid putting ourselves in any of these types of situations. A father, when he teaches a son a profession, should try to avoid teaching him a profession where he's going to be amongst women all the time. Because just being around women is just not a healthy situation where a guy is around women all the time. The Gemara in the end of Maseches Sukkah tells us that there's a chiyuv to have a mechitza separating men and women at Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And how do we know that? Because we know from the description the Navi Zechariah has of the hesped for the Mashiach ben Yosef, where it describes men and women being separate. So we know that by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, men and women should be separate. What's the tzushtel? What's the connection between the two? So the connection is that even in times of Avelus, where it's sadness and people are not likely to be overly social, people, we still need a separation. Certainly in times of celebration, in times of festive occasions, certainly the Yetzer Hara is that much stronger, and the Torah demands a separation between men and women. Obviously, that would be a good maramakum for weddings as well, which is obviously a very festive occasion, and where the Yetzer Hara tends to be a little more rampant. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yontif, Perek Vav, Halacha Chaf Aleph, that during the Yom Tovim, the Beis Din has to appoint special officers, tznius police, during the Yom Tovim, to make sure, not tznius in terms of the way people dress, but to make sure that people aren't socializing too much, because on Yom Tovim, everyone's off from work, people have a lot of time to hang around, and very often everyone comes to shul, and very often there's a lot of socialization going on. But the clearest and most obvious maramakum is, of course, what it says in the Shulchan Aruch itself. The Shulchan Aruch in Eben Ezer, Simen Chavalev, says that a person should be marchik himself from women, ma'od, ma'od. Very, very much. And that's a very obviously uncommon phrase in Shulchan Aruch, to have a double ma'od. And all the Shulchan Aruch is doing is just expressing what all these other Ma'amari Chazal very clearly try to express. It's like I remember Rav Willick said once, Rav Mordechai Willick told us once, that a woman called him up with the following shayla. There's a movie that came out that's probably, let's just say it was a Harry Potter movie, the first Harry Potter movie, and she's very into Harry Potter, but her husband could care less about Harry Potter, never read any of the books. And they're close family friends with another couple who the man is very into Harry Potter and the woman could care less about Harry Potter. So the woman wanted to know, can I go watch the Harry Potter movie with my friend's husband? And we're just going to go, and our spouses don't care about it. So they're not interested in going. And our spouses are fine, they're mochel. Can we go to the movie together? And Rabbi Willick said, no. And the woman said, oh yeah? Where is it written in Shulchan Aruch? Where is it written anywhere? He said, it's all of Shulchan Aruch. Certain things don't have to be spelled out in one specific spot. It's so obvious that that's the overall view of what Chazal want from us. It's not something that's really very debatable in terms of what the Mar Makamos point to in Chazal. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan says, also famously in Aruch Chaim, Simen Tav Kuv Pei Gimel, Siv Dalid, that by Tashlich, women shouldn't go to Tashlich, the Aruch HaShulchan says. What's wrong with women going to Tashlich? tashlich, because it creates a social scene. So women and men shouldn't go to tashlich at the same time. Any situation where it's going to be a social scene, ideally should be avoided. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. Now, there is one maramakam that seems to point in the other direction. The Levush quotes the Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim writes that at a wedding where there's mixed seating, you shouldn't say Shasimcha Bimono, because it's not really such a great simcha since there's mixed seating. That's what the Sefer Chassidim writes. So the Levush says, yeah, but nowadays it's different, because nowadays we're much more accustomed to having women sit right near us. When we take the subway, there are women all over the place, whatever. We walk in the streets, the women are in the office, they're all over the place. We're much more accustomed to having women sit near us without getting all out of sorts and allowing it to affect us so much. So since we're much more accustomed to us, he uses the phrase that they're like avzi chivri, they're like white geese, which I guess white geese were commonly found on the streets of Bavel. So he says, so that's a phrase from the Gemara, so he says, since they're so commonly found around all the time, so therefore there's nothing to worry about in terms of separate seating versus mixed seating. But overall socializing, he's not denying that would be bad. He's just saying, I don't think it's going to come to that. I don't think it's just because there's not a mechitza in terms of the seating, I don't think it's necessarily going to come to inappropriate socializing. Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Tzadi Aleph and Beis, says that he remembers a time in Eretz Yisrael when there used to be such a thing as a boy and a girl, 16, 17 years old, hanging out together without doing averos. And he said, but nowadays that no longer exists. Rav Adi Yosef writes in one of his shuvas that if it no longer exists in the times of the Gemara, Kal v'chomer ben beno shel kal v'chomer, it doesn't exist anymore nowadays. The Gemara at the end of Sukkah, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, at the end of Sanhedrin, of Kuv Zayin Amar Aleph, also says the Gemara that Rabbi Kamenetsky quoted a couple of weeks ago about how Ever Katan Yeshba Adam, and the more that a person feeds that Ever, the hungrier it gets. That's how the Yetzer Hara works sometimes, that being around too many of these situations doesn't make a person immune to it. To the contrary, it makes a person someone who becomes a Cheftza of Arayas, a Cheftza of Znus. You become someone who's much more inclined toward it, not immune from it. So, as an ideal, do we hold that, boys and girls should always be hanging out together and be schmoozing all the... It's a davar pashut, it's an open and shut case. Any posek worth his weight in anything, whoever discussed this issue, said that it's said as much, that it's a davar pashut, that it is not an ideal. Anyone who's ever spoken publicly on the matter, or written on the matter, has written that way. I wrote an article once on co-education, and I looked very hard to try to find any posek that says otherwise. I finally found one rabbi who wrote an essay about how great co-education is. Turned out that he was a conservative rabbi. I couldn't find anyone who really held that it's an ideal. Again, you could argue what people of stature are. I'm talking about people who are widely recognized as poskim and gedolim. So, you could argue that, whatever. Some people might argue that. Whatever, they don't have the same definition as people of stature that I have. But anyway, that's the Torah Ashkafa as far as I see it, and as far as it's been taught to me by my Rebbein. And this is true, you should know. It's a good Ashkafa to know. This doesn't stop when you get married. A lot of times guys get married and they think, oh, now it's mutter to talk to girls. No, it actually becomes more usher, because a lot of the potential women that you would be socializing with are now anacious ish. They're your friends' wives and things like that. It's not okay now to, one of the biggest avlus that you find in unfortunately many modern Orthodox communities is lack of zehirus in negia on other people's wives. Negia b'der chiba. You have modern Orthodox shuls where people hug and kiss other people's wives after shul. It's mamish terrible avla. Obviously, eshes ish is something that's a very severe issur. So that's something that happens even after you get married. I remember there was once a rabbi who teaching in a seminary or in a yeshiva in Israel, who said, you can have a healthy friendship with someone of the opposite gender even after you're married. And he said, the guy said, I know that I call up a woman that I was friendly with since we're teenagers, whenever I have issues that I don't want to talk about with my wife, and I talk to this woman about these issues, and we, and it's perfectly healthy and perfectly fine. And I was like, so shocked by it. I went to a Rebbe who I respected very much and asked him, is there really such a Torah Hashkafa that you can have such a relationship, that there exists such an animal, that there's such a relationship? And he said, well, there's two possibilities. Either the guy is completely off base and he's totally Hashkafically messed up, or he's such a tzaddik gomer and a tzaddik yisod olam that he would never have yirhurim and he would never even come to that situation. So the Rebbe said to me, I'm not going to say who the Rebbe was, the Rebbe said to me, So did Rav Aaron Lichtenstein say it? I said, no. He said, okay, so then it's possibility number one. Like, the only way you could imagine of someone not having Yitzhak, it would be, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein happens to be pretty strict on these types of issues. He's not so liberal on these issues. But anyway, that's on the one side. So certainly as an ideal, should we be involved in socializing when we're not ready to get married and it's just time for fun? Certainly as an ideal, that's open and shut. There's nothing to talk about. Right? The Gemara famously in Erevin and Gimel and Beis with the story of Bruria and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili asks her, Eza Derech Lelud, how do you get to Lud? And she says, how horrible of you. You're supposed to say, Eza Lelud. You're supposed to use as few words as possible instead of saying, Eza Derech Holchen Lelud. What the way to get to Lud is, use two extra words. And don't you realize you're talking to a woman? You're not supposed to say extra words when you're talking to a woman. There are so many, countless Mamari Chazal, Mishnah Altabra Sichem Isha, whatever. You have so many Mamari Chazal in that direction. On the other hand, we also have a mitzvah. Mishnah and Avos also have Mekavlos Kol Adam B'Sefer Parim Yafos. You're supposed to greet everyone with a friendly demeanor. The person's not supposed to run to the other side of the street when you see somebody that you know. That's considered mean and nasty and not a nice thing to do at all. You're supposed to greet somebody in a very nice way. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph, also very famous. Shem Shemayim Mis'ahiv Al Yadcha, specifically for B'nai Torah. You have a unique opportunity. If people associate you with Torah, and they associate you with B'nai Torah, and they say, oh, what a mensch. And even though he's so into learning, and he's always learning all the time, still knows how to be a mensch, he's a nice person. Misayev al yadcha, Shem Shemayim is going to be Misayev al yadcha, could be a tremendous Kiddush Hashem for people maybe who aren't always so sensitive to exactly what a yeshiva bachur necessarily stands for. You might say, but you know, I want to be nice and I want to be friendly, but it's just too difficult because I'm trying to stay away from these situations, and I just don't want to start something where I'm going to be in this type of situation. And it's so much easier for me to just run away and have the person say that I'm a nasty person than to have to confront the situation. So I like to say over a story with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. It happened once. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Rav Avadia Yosef quotes this in his Sefer Anafei Tzavos and Pirkei Avos, that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was walking once in Erev Rosh Hashanah or Erev Yom Kippur, and he saw another big Talmud Chacham who was totally consumed with the pachad of the Yom HaDin. The person was like trembling. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter ran over to him to ask him something. And the guy was so consumed with the pachad of the Yom HaDin, he didn't even hear Rabbi Yisrael. He didn't respond to him. Just ignored him. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said to the people that were with him, what a horrible thing. Just because he has his pachad of the Yom HaDin, he doesn't have to be Mekabel Kol Adam Sefer Parim Yafos anymore. He has to take it out on me? I have to experience his pachad. Let him experience his pachad. But when you're dealing with other people, you're supposed to deal in a kind and friendly way with other people. So it seems as a davar pashut that especially if there are people who know you and who expect, you know, who you had some sort of relationship, some sort of friendship with, that it's appropriate to be friendly. That it's appropriate to be nice, to be friendly, to be cordial, and you don't have to sit there schmoozing for an hour. But how you doing? Nice to see you. Those are all appropriate things to say. What are you up to? Whatever, and that's it. And then, okay, it was wonderful seeing you. Take care. Be well. You know, not necessarily say, oh, here's my phone number. Text me sometime or whatever. You know, leave it at that. But certainly, while there, to be as friendly and cordial as possible. Now, some people say have an issue sometimes that a lot of the people that whether it works in both directions in terms of gender. A lot of girls have the issue that guys who maybe didn't get so frum in yeshiva, and guys have the issue that the girls that they were friends with that didn't get so frum in yeshiva, they don't understand and they get upset. That, what do you mean you're not going to sit and schmooze with me for 45 minutes outside of the wedding? I don't get it. Why aren't you going to sit and schmooze with me? What do you find wrong with that? So the truth is, I think, and this is my own personal opinion, that you have an achrayus that a reasonable person will respond well to you. You have an achrayus to be kind to a reasonable person on a level where that reasonable person will then say, you know what, that was very nice. It was very nice of that person to act in that way. I don't think you have an achrayus to meshugaim. There are always going to be meshuganas that don't like you, no matter who you are. At least if you're in my profession, there are always people that don't like you. Some of them are meshugam, some of them aren't meshugam. Some of them are people that, you know, maybe you did something to hurt them. But you don't have to be achroi for every meshugana. So, so I'm going to spend my whole friend's wedding schmoozing with someone outside in the hall for an hour instead of dancing with Chasen Kala and risking all sorts of emotional baggage that comes along with it because the person's a meshugana, that anything less than that is not being cordial and nice. I don't think you have to go that far. It should be noted, as just on a whole, when it comes to weddings, weddings are a very good place when you are ready to make social connections. To find you're going to the weddings of your friends. Your friends are very often very much like you, and therefore the girls that are friends with your friend's wife are very often going to be pretty much your pool of candidates for your own shidduchim. So it's kedai to, and that's a very often a much more natural environment to be able to make connections with people at a wedding. Look, if you're not holding there yet, so don't start making those connections yet. But when you are holding there, I didn't always take this so seriously. I was at a wedding last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, and one of my talmidim is in Avelos. He's in his Yud Beis Chodesh, and he asked me if he's allowed to come to the wedding. It was his best friend's wedding. So I said, you can come to the chuppah. Rav Belsky happens to paskin that you can come to the chuppah. I think Rav Shechtel is not supposed to. Rav Belsky says you can come to the chuppah when you're in Avelus. But I said, you shouldn't come into the main ballroom. You can play music and dance, whatever. You shouldn't come. So right after the chuppah, we were schmoozing for a while. And he said, let me just walk into the main ballroom for a couple of minutes with you. And I said, you really shouldn't. He said, no, before the chasim and kala come, not for the dancing, not for anything. It's important that I be there for a little bit. He said, I'm in the parsha. And this is where connections happen. It's like, what, are you kidding me? Come on, you're not going to find a shidduch if you don't come into the wedding. I was not comfortable with him coming in at all. I asked Rabbi Willig, afterwards, what should I have done? Like, he said he should not be coming into that. But anyway, the guy came in, and we were schmoozing for a couple of minutes, and I said, okay, you should really get out of here. And he left. The second he left, someone comes over to me. Who's that guy that you were talking to? I have someone for him. So sometimes, I no longer underrate wedding as a place to maybe find a proper shidduch. And always, I'm a big fan, like Rav Shechter always says, of trying to, once you're at that age, to be able to meet someone in a more natural environment is a very nice advantage to have. I am convinced that there are many shidduchim that are nixed after one date because it wasn't a comfortable enough environment for the people to actually get to know each other and get to see each other and acting in a normal kind of way, and therefore they just nix it after one date. I think there are many more opportunities, and it's perhaps more those types of environments. Rav Shechter used to always tell guys, when you get married, make the tables for the singles, mix seating at the tables for the singles, dock at the singles tables, where they should be able to socialize and meet each other. What normally happens when you do that is the guys sit on one side of the table, the girls sit on the other side of the table, and they act awkward and they don't talk to each other all the time, and it's just very uncomfortable. But at least in theory, as an ideal, it is certainly a good idea. So weddings, are a good place to meet people. Just not yet. When the time comes, whenever you feel you're ready, it could be yet. Whenever you feel you're ready, but it shouldn't be a place to where you know that there's no shaykhus and that it's someone who you have no connection to, and you're not going to have a connection. Just stop to socialize with them because you were friends in ninth grade, and you went out for 2 weeks in ninth grade before. I don't think that you have any. You have an achrayus to be a mensch. I think that's all. That's as far as the achrayus goes.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.